Broadcasting from Youngstown, Ohio, this is the MV Red Podcast, the show where we talk about news and politics impacting the Mahoning Valley, the state of Ohio, and the USA. If you want to subscribe to our podcast, find us on your favorite podcast streaming app or visit our website, www.mvred.com. If you want to share your opinion with us, please email info@mvred.com, as we would love to hear from you. Now, let's get things started. Here are your hosts, Michael Metzinger and Dane Davis.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to episode 23 of the MV Red Podcast. I'm Michael, that's Dane, and the 2020 election is almost here. 2 days away, less than 48 hours from now, we'll be having some results and probably having a decent idea of how the night's going to be. So we are looking forward to it. So this entire episode tonight is going to be geared towards Dane and I offering our 2020 election predictions at the Electoral College. We might throw some Senate picks in there, and then a couple local races, in particular the Christina Hagen versus Tim Ryan race, as well as the Al Catrona versus Christopher Stanley race. At least those are the two I want to talk about. And it should be a good episode. We're going to put our predictions out there, and we'll see if we are complete homers or if we're going to be more accurate than Nate Silver, which I think we will be to an extent. We'll see how accurate we're going to be. So first off, Dane, how are you doing this evening?
Well, it's a dark and stormy evening. It's actually more appropriate for Halloween today than it was yesterday. Yesterday, it was completely cloudless sky, and now it's really dark. It's stormy. It's very foreboding. It snowed. I went to see my parents, Shanley's parents, over in Trumbull County. I'm back here in bucolic Geauga County. Everything's nice and comfy, but as we were driving back, it was really kind of scary. I don't know if that's foreshadowing for the election and the winter that's about to come, but yeah, I am. I'm ready to share my map. I think this is the day where we put it all on the line. And I have a website open, 270 to win. I guess, I don't know. You want to walk through? You're the expert, right?
Yeah, no. First off, I want to encourage everybody, if you're on Facebook or Twitter, if you're on Facebook, maybe have a watch party, or if you're on Twitter, if you don't have to do a watch party, but maybe share it to your Facebook page, or if you're on Twitter, retweet it. And throughout the evening, I'll definitely be watching the chat, and I want to encourage everybody. I've got a comment already. What's this backdrop?
Yeah,
I didn't paint my office. I will add some background behind me, but it's a blue wall. That's what it is, Swick. It's a nice blue wall. Hopefully not predictive of a blue wave on Tuesday night. But please share it on social media, and I'll be checking the chat. But I want people to share their opinions in the chat as we go through state by state. Curious to hear everybody's opinion. So let's go, Dane. Do you want to start it off?
So I'm going to start it off. I think I'm going to share my screen. And I want to share two things, okay? I'm trying to think of the way to think through this, right? I think anybody that comes to you and says, I know who's going to win on Tuesday, 2 days from now, is a liar, right? I think this is one of the most unpredictable elections I've ever encountered. And I think it's unpredictable for three reasons. First and foremost, it's COVID-19, coronavirus, whatever you want to call it, the Wuhan flu. I think it's affecting turnouts in ways that we don't know. I don't think anybody knows. There's been massive early voting. I think 95 million people have early voted. And I think that that's really going to affect with the results. We could see some potentially very screwed results, right? So that's point number one. Point number two is 2016. We heard time and time again that Hillary was 50,000 points ahead. And of course she lost, right? She won the popular vote, but she lost the Electoral College. And Trump won a pretty convincing Electoral College victory with 306 delegates or electors, I think it's the technical term. And the polling methodology being so wrong in 16, but then In 2018, they called the blue wave, and we got the blue wave, right? So it's like, it seems like they fixed it, but nobody's really certain of whether or not they did, right? So that's point number two. And then point number three is Donald Trump himself. He's a unique phenomenon in politics. He's not like any other politician. And I think he creates weird different combinations of the electorate. I think the way to understand American politics is to understand that we are going through a massive realignment in terms of the two political parties. I think the Democrats are increasingly becoming a coalition of the very wealthy and the very poor. So think of, you know, the illegal immigrant that may have just crossed into the United States, as well as the tech billionaire in California. Those two individuals could not have more different, right? But they are both in the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party represents those two poles. The Republicans, which traditionally were a WASPy, small C conservative party, are increasingly becoming this populist working class party, where working class men and women across the country are starting to flock to them, right? They're largely a white party, but as I'm going to get to, I think that's starting to change a little bit. The dynamic's shifting. So you're seeing these like Chagrin Falls, which was historically a very Republican city, is going to be very blue. Girard, Ohio, and I'm going to get to this in a moment, which was historically, you know, the epicenter of blue collar America, is turning red, right? So those three things, right? The shifting realignment, Donald Trump in the polls, and COVID-19 make for this unpredictable election. So I don't have any idea. All I'm going to outline to everybody watching this is how I'm thinking through this. And I very well could be wrong. I could be right. But that's my mentality, right? I'll stop there. I don't know if you agree with that take, Michael, or not.
Oh, I think it's fair. I do think it's a changing electorate compared to the past. I don't even think it's going to be the same electorate as like 2016. And what I mean by electorate is more so the coalitions of voters and how it's changing in geographics. We have Texas and the massive turnout there, and the idea that state maybe sooner rather than later is going to become a toss up. Maybe it's a toss up this year. We'll see. And then the Rust Belt, an area of the country, the Republicans have been trying to make some inroads, especially in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. It seems like we're at a point where they might have a chance to, again, hold on to some of those, if not all of them, although I'm not quite there, I'll be honest with you. But it's changing. The map is changing, and it's interesting to see before our eyes, because think back in the day, like the Deep South was a blue part of the country, and now it's reliably red, or like a West Virginia. I think in 1996 was a big Clinton state. Right. I could be wrong, and it was the strongest state for Trump because of the white working class message. So, I agree with what you have to say. I'm trying to read in the chat. I think, I don't know if you made a comment maybe about 2018, but they did miss, if you were talking about polling, they did miss quite a few Senate races.
They did. And that's a nuance, right? That they got the surge of blue voters correct, but they missed a lot of Senate races, like in Missouri, right? That's the one that immediately comes to mind.
Indiana.
Claire McCaskill, right, was supposed to be the senator from Missouri. She is not. Josh Hawley is. Indiana, was it Richard Braun, right, was supposed to lose against
Donnelly.
And Braun, of course, won. Governor of Ohio, Richard Cordray, was supposed to beat Mike DeWine, right?
DeSantis versus Gillum in Florida.
So they got the total, you know, outcome right, but they missed a lot of things. So again, the polling story, it's all of them. I honestly don't even think Democrats really have a lot of faith in polling. I don't think anybody has faith in polling anymore. Nobody knows what's going on. The polls are all showing a massive bias. And this brings me to my point. So this little thing that I have up right now, this is from 538. So if you search 538.com, okay, you go to this little thing, right? Not their forecast, but you can pick the winner. So right now, 538.com, I think everybody knows Biden's massively ahead in polls, right? Trump is behind. And Biden's ahead of polls on the national level to a degree that I think even Hillary, right? There's two things different. Biden has a greater lead, but Biden has had a more consistent lead. Whereas in 2016, you know, Trump would rally then fall and rally then fall, and Hillary would spike and then fall. So there's a lot more volatility. Biden has had this consistent poll lead. Trump has had, you know, this 5 to 8 point deficit consistently, right? And that's I think there's some truth to that. So anyways, go to the 538 website, go to this section, right? And I want to make this point. Right now, 538 is predicting that Trump has 11-100 chance of winning. Okay. Biden's 89-100. And this is their map, right? Well, I have my take on some states. And what this little tool allows you to do is allows you to take the state and make it blue or red. Okay. And it tells you how the forecast changes. So I'm going to come to this and I'm going to say, I don't know how all 50 states will vote, but I know how a couple states will vote, I think. I think Ohio goes red. I'm going to outline this in a bit, but I'm very confident that Ohio goes red. I think it's a matter of there are not enough Democratic votes in Ohio. So let's turn that red. And look, Trump goes up from 11-100 to 21-100. I also think that Florida goes red. Okay. Now this is a big call, but I think the early voting numbers are showing that Trump is going to win by a couple points. Now, boom, all of a sudden he's at 40-100. Okay. I think Iowa goes red, and I think it's likely that North Carolina goes red, okay? These are four states that Trump has previously won. They're trending red. People could disagree, but I hope it's not too bold. When you make those four states red, boom, all of a sudden, he is now the odds-on favorite to win, right? The point here is that this model is really susceptible to changes in some of these states. So I don't know who's going to win. I think more likely than not Biden wins. But I do think that there is a strong potential of a Trump upset, right? Mm-hmm. And I am of two mindsets. I think it's like a 60% chance that Biden has a narrow win and a 40% chance that Trump has like a surprising win and just overwhelms Biden. That's my take. And I'm going to go through the various states, but this is just the point that like anybody that comes in and tells you that like, oh, Biden's going to win in a landslide and like you're a moron for disagreeing, just flip these two states. And Trump is out of one, Iowa and Ohio. And I think there's really strong arguments that Trump is going to win both of these. Now he's at 25% chance, right? You flip Florida, he's at 42. So it's a lot. My point here with this little exercise, it's a lot closer to race than anybody realizes.
No, I agree. There's the infamous, they call it the gold standard poll of Iowa that came out last night. There's a lot of hype about it leading into it because the last poll actually had Joe Biden and Trump tied, and the poll came out with Trump up 7. And again, that's similar to what they came out with in 2016. And then I think Trump ended up winning that state by about 10. And then you had mentioned about Florida. And I am with you. And listen, we both live in Ohio. We both see what's happening on the ground in Northeast Ohio, which is now Geauga, I think, has been a reliably red county. But you're from Trumbull. I'm from Mahoning County. We see what's happening on the ground here. And I keep mentioning this on Twitter. The Democrats can ill afford to lose the 65 to 75,000 votes that they would typically pick up in Mahoning and Trumbull County. And remember, in 4 years ago, they lost those two counties when you combine the votes by 2,000 votes. Nothing on the ground is telling me that they're going to revert back to the old ways. It's going to be tight again in the Mahoning Valley, which to me makes it very – the electoral math of Ohio makes it very difficult for the Democrats to win. There's just – unless you just reduce margins in a lot of those rural counties, which I'm just not seeing, I don't see how the Democrats win it. That's just my opinion.
I agree. And then
the Florida, I've been following closely the early vote data there because that's one of the two states, Nevada being the other one, that gives you an idea of how a state's going to go. And the Democrats went out to a huge lead in the absentee vote, almost 500,000. The Republicans trimmed it to just under 100,000 as of yesterday. I think it's going to settle out around 100,000, 105,000 Democrat lead going into Election Day, which on the surface may sound bad. But the last two statewide elections down there, the Republicans, I believe, have had deficits going into Election Day, and they won. Furthermore, we all know what a lot of the polling data is showing, where Republicans are far more likely in many states 2-1, by 2-1 margins to vote on Election Day compared to voting by mail or voting early. So the electorate on Election Day across the nation is going to be heavily Republican. So if the Republicans keep it close in the early vote in a number of these states, it gives them a chance.
Yeah. And so that goes back to the other thing that I can't figure out. I think that, you know, the Democrats are going to be leading in the early vote. I think, you know, generally an average Democratic voter is very concerned about COVID. An average Republican voter is not as concerned, right? I don't think that's a controversial statement to make.
No.
So what I believe that the majority of Americans would vote for Joe Biden over Donald Trump. I think that's real. But I don't believe that a majority of the electorate necessarily will vote for Biden over Trump, or at least in the margins needed for Biden to win, right? Because I think that there's a very real case where Democratic turnout is depressed. And we'll get to this in a moment. They don't turn out. And as a result, Trump wins and he ekes out an electoral college victory again. I think that's so real. I think it's happening. I think it's happening again. I don't know where to begin. Where do we begin, Michael? Because I'm getting too deep into it. Slow me down.
Let's go to Florida, because I think that's a good state. Well, and Blake on Periscope had mentioned how many Hispanics are voting for Trump according to the polls in Miami. Agreed. It's across the board in Florida. There's a very real chance that Trump can win the Hispanic vote in Florida. It probably – maybe he won't win it, but he might break even or lose it by a couple points. But that's a big improvement, because you remember 4 years ago, all the talk was in Florida. Hispanics, they're not going to go to Trump. They're going to push Hillary ahead, and he still won by over 120,000 votes. And the early vote data – and this is why I'm so confident about Florida. Not only did the Republicans reduce the margins quite a bit in the early vote, you know, again, around 100,000, their margins, like we talked about last episode, in – Dade County, Miami-Dade County, are considerably less than Broward County and considerably less than where they were 4 years ago. That is the largest county in the state. It's the second most Democrat county in the state. And again, if the Republicans, Trump could pick off 10% of the vote there. That's 100,000 votes. And it makes the math in Florida much more difficult for the Democrats going into Election Day.
Right. I think this is how I'm thinking through it, right? I think Black voters and Hispanic voters are going – slightly more Trump than before, right? I'm not saying they're going to vote Trump. I'm just saying they're slightly more. Like, Trump's improved with Hispanics and he's improved with Black voters. I think Trump has lost with white voters. I think he's lost big time with white voters with a college degree. I think he's lost ground with seniors, white seniors, right? And I don't know how much he lost with white voters, right? Because if he loses a little bit with white voters, but he gains with Blacks and Hispanics, right, he'll be okay. But if he loses too much with white voters, the Blacks and Hispanics are not a large enough share of the electorate to really offset that, right? People forget that the electorate is still 70% white. Like, you can go on this, like, the demographic tools, and you can say, give a candidate all the Black and Hispanic votes, but allow the white vote to go in against them, and that they'll lose, right? They'll lose dramatically. So he needs to win. He needs to maintain his margins with white working class voters, and he needs to control the bleeding with seniors and with college voters, and he can win. I know I'm on the right side of things, but I'm seeing data now that suggests that Trump could very well win this election. And that's how it happens, right? He stems his bleeding with white voters. He gains up a little bit of ground with Blacks and Hispanic voters, and he wins, right? And the other thing that we're seeing happening is that turnout for Black voters in North Carolina and for youth voters across the country is down. Now, people will say, I've seen some facts on it, youth vote's up 80%, right? And they're like, wow, the youth vote's up 80% in early voting. Wow, it's a big youth quake, right? But what they don't say is that the early voting vote is up, say, 200%. So if the total early voting vote rises 200%, but the youth vote only rises 80%, the youth vote as a share of the electorate is actually declining. And the same is true with Black votes, right? And I do think that this will matter in states like North Carolina, Florida, Ohio, potentially Pennsylvania. I don't think the youth voters are turning out. I don't think the Black voters are turning out. And again, I think that if you survey them, Donald Trump is losing both of those groups. But if they don't turn out to vote, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, and I think let's go back to COVID for a second. There are schools right now, universities that is, colleges that are more hybrid or maybe 100% virtual. And in certain states, just a couple of colleges, 100% virtual, where they are not on campus for the Democrats to get their get out the vote efforts, it makes it challenging to ensure that they're going to rack up those votes with the youth. So we'll see if that plays a role. I know in some of the Big Ten states, I think most of them are in person to an extent. So I don't know if it'll matter, but maybe like in a North Carolina, you know, with Duke, NC State, Wake Forest. I'm not sure how those are, but I'm sure there are universities, large ones that are mostly virtual or hybrid, where it's their margins are going to be down a little bit. Real quick, I do want to make mention. So on the screen right now is a tweet from Kevin Kate. He's a Democrat strategist from Florida, and he tweeted this yesterday morning where he said, looking at for Florida Democrats looking at the early vote. As you note here, he talks about being up 200,000 going into Election Day with the early vote. They'd be perfect. This range is pretty good, and 120,000, okay. Well, they're at 100,000 right now,
yeah,
which is less than 120K. So you, from that alone, that should tell you all you need to know about where Florida's going.
Yeah. So can we pull up my map? I want to take this and like, okay, so here's my map, right? This is the way I'm thinking through the election. I put all the, oh, I should put Minnesota as a swing state. Put all the swing states in brown, right? The red states are red, and the blue states are blue. And I'm going to walk you through each state, right? And I'm going to pick. And I wish you could put up a map, too. We could compare.
I'll have one, and we could go back and forth.
Okay, we'll use my map, and then we'll just flip to you. Okay, so
yep.
So let's start with Ohio, right? Polling's looking so-so for Trump.
Whoops, wait. Don't worry. I'm gonna remove mine. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're good. Yeah, so starting with Ohio, polling's looking so-so for Trump, right? But I took a drive around Girard, Ohio today, and Girard, Ohio voted 56% for Clinton, 40% for Trump, right? And I was shocked. I felt like I was in like the deepest red part of Mississippi. The Trump signs, the Christina Hagen signs were overwhelming. And Girard is like a blue area, right, of Ohio. I look at a state like Ohio, and if you're the Democrats, right, you need to win. You win the cities, and you need to win like the working class areas of Ohio to get a majority to win the state, right? And I simply don't think that they're doing it. If Girard is as red as I saw a few hours ago, there's zero chance that there are not enough votes. They can turn out Cleveland. They can turn out downtown Columbus. They can turn out, I don't know, Cincinnati. There are just not enough votes for them to win Ohio. And I'm very, very certain that Donald Trump takes Ohio. So I'm going to put that as like a nice chartreuse red, right? So I don't know. What do you think? Are you with me on this? Like there's just not enough votes. Yeah. Ohio is going Trump.
I agree. And while you're talking, I'm just going to, and we'll go back and forth between.
Yeah.
So real quick, because it'll just be easier to kind of do this now instead of wait till the end. So I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to Excel, maybe because I'm a CPA and this is what I do. And I know Dane works with numbers quite a bit. So I've been doing a little bit, I'll call it a model, which is just kind of glorified trying to project what the results of each battleground state is going to look like. And so here's what we look, here's what Ohio looks like right now. So what I did is I took early vote data, kind of how one of the early vote model companies is projecting the early vote. I think it's Democrat plus six. Then I go in the polling data, figure out what kind of breakdown it's going to be on election day for turnout. And then it breaks it out by how much of Republicans are going to Trump, vice versa with Biden, with the Democrats, and then in the port and independent. So this is just how it's looking like with Ohio. Democrats have a lead. But again, if you know, projecting about 5.8 million votes, Republicans will net quite a few on election day, almost 700,000 plus. And according to this, now this might be a little bullish, I'll be honest with you, but it's projecting about an 8-9 point win for Trump. But this is not out of the realm of and again, this isn't me messing around with the numbers. This is strictly based on polling data. And as you can see, these are, if you go to the actual polls for these three, Quinnipiac has Trump down 5, New York Times, Trump down 1, Emerson, I think Trump down 1 as well. So this is the internals of the polls, which I'm looking at to project it. So this is where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
With Ohio.
So, and I don't want to be the guy that's like the conspiracy theorist that the polls are wrong, right? But when I drive around Girard, Ohio, or like anywhere around Youngstown, and it's all red and it's Trump Hagen, and yeah, there could be a quiet vote, but like this area, this is not a red area, and they're all Trump Hagen signs. And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. If you're the Democrats, you can't win Ohio if you lose Youngstown. So watch this. What happens with this little model? I pick Ohio red, and Trump's a 21 in 100 chance of winning. So he's gone from 10% to 20%. So let's go to my other little thing. Hold on, I'm going to share my other screen. I'm going to go to my next state, right? And I'm just going to go. This is pretty comfy. Are you comfy right now, Michael? I hope people are. I hope people are relaxed. This is a comfy stream. Just relax, talk the election.
And we're explaining our process. So if people disagree, which I'm welcome to disagreement, and people might call us homers, but we're providing our rationale for why we're thinking certain
ways. Yeah.
Ohio was an easy one, though, I think.
Ohio's an easy one. So I started with easy. I want to start with another easy one, Texas. Texas is going red. Okay. And there's this meme out there, the blue Texas. That's dumb. That's really dumb. It's low IQ. There's a close Senate race in 2018. Texas will eventually go blue because the people that ruined California are moving to Texas, and then they're going to ruin Texas like they did California. But we're not there yet, right? We still have some time. I think it's still a very red state. It went for Trump quite strongly in 2016. I don't know the exact margins. And I would encourage people in that same 2018 race where Ted Cruz came within like 4 points of losing to Beto, look at the Governor Greg Abbott, right? He was the Republican governor running, I think, for re-election in 18. He won something by like 16 points. It was ridiculous, right? I don't have the margins exactly up right now. But it's still a very, very Republican state. So I think Texas stays red. And that shouldn't be controversial. Some of these polls, like, guys, this is the same stupid stuff in 2016. Go type in Hillary Clinton, Texas, right? And there are all these stories in 2016. Hillary Clinton's going to take Texas. It's tight in Texas. It shouldn't be tight in Texas. Trump is going to lose Texas, right? And then he wins by like 8 points or 7 points or something like that. So Texas will turn blue in our lifetimes. Not this year. Texas is red. Michael, thoughts?
Yeah. The turnout is through the roof in a lot of Texas, especially something like Austin and some of the bluer parts. But I think what is going to be the story on election night is, despite this increased turnout in some states, I initially thought that was going to greatly favor Biden, but based on some of the early vote in a lot of these states, it doesn't appear to be so. And maybe, and remember, I think Ryan Gruduski tweeted this out maybe a month or so back. There are a lot of white working class Americans who have not voted in the past two elections. And so there's a possibility that maybe some of those new voters in some of these states are those types of voters. So it's not necessarily just Democrats or liberals like on college campuses and all that. But I agree with you. Texas is going red.
So share my screen again.
No,
you're good. You're good. I'm back at Nate's model, right? We're at 21. We went from a 10% chance of a Trump victory. Now we're at 20% chance. Let's turn Texas red. Uh-oh. We're at a 25% chance of Trump winning. Uh-oh.
We're getting there.
What's going on, bud? Okay, so let's go. Let me stop sharing and let me go back to just flipping around. Let me go back to my map. Okay, so far you and I are in agreement, right? I don't think we've split. Okay, let me go to my next state.
Quick shout out to Tom in the chat. He's his wife and he are 40, and this is the first time they are both voting. So
congrats. You're a smart man. I'm proud of you for voting.
Great to hear.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. Please do so again. These are the type of voters that Trump, I think, is going to turn out to an unprecedented degree. So if he wins, it's going to be like people like Tom. So, okay. So next state, Iowa. Okay. Iowa was a state that's voted blue in the past. It went for Obama. I think it went to Romney. Or, I don't know. But Iowa's kind of a weird Midwestern state. It kind of goes both, blue and red, depending. People would assume it's a solidly red state, but it's not. The local government's very red, but they will vote blue. Trump, a poll just came out on Sunday. It created a bit of an earthquake. It's the Seltzer poll. It's rated by 538 as an A-plus rated poll. It's this woman by the name of Ann Seltzer. She just polls Iowa. Her poll had Trump up 7 last time. He won by 9 in 2016. Her poll done this year had Trump up by 7 in Iowa. So I think he takes the state and with it 6 points. And I'm just going to pause real quick here, Michael. I'm going to switch my screen over to the 538 model, and I'm going to click Iowa red. Uh-oh, we're at 28 and 100% chance of Trump winning. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm just going off of the Seltzer poll. I've seen other polling data. I just think ultimately that state, the odds of it flipping 10 points from Trump to Biden, I just not there. I just don't think there's a vast amount of Trump voters who are going to abandon him. And so I agree with you. I think I was going red. And real quick in the chat, Mike McGlone had mentioned, and I think it's going to be a mess regardless of who declares victory, but he does say it's a worst case scenario. Maybe Biden might have a slight lead on the map going into election night. PA too close to call. I would say probably the reverse. I would not be surprised if Trump slightly ahead in some of those states declares victory on election night or something to that effect. And it's regardless of who does what, I do fear for election night in some of these states because there are certain states who are not going to have all their vote in at all. Yeah. But the key is going to be Florida. If Florida will have all their vote in or a vast majority in probably by about 11 o'clock. So we'll know if Trump wins that, which again looks like maybe a 1 to 2 point win for him. I think that will then foreshadow move us to the next Sun Belt, Arizona, North Carolina, Georgia, and then the Rust Belt states. So that'll be the key. But
so let's go to that. So far we've just looked at three states, Ohio, Iowa, and Texas, right? And in ascending confidence, we think that these three states are going to be red. This isn't controversial. My next pick is going to be a little bit controversial. I think Florida goes Trump. Oops. Oh, I got to flip the color. I think it's a light pink, but I think Trump wins Florida. You and I have been looking at the early vote data. You can search, go to like politico.com, go to a variety of other websites. The early voting data is looking really good for Republicans. It's not looking as good for Democrats. The Republicans are actually at a better state in 2020 on early votes in Florida than they were in 2016. Now, there's the big chance that the independents are defecting to the Democrats. But based on what we've seen, it looks like Florida is going red. And you don't have to take my word for it or Michael's word. Look at where the candidates are campaigning. I think that's the best read of it. Nobody's going to Florida. Everybody's going to the Midwest. And I think that Florida it's a state that's gone redder over time. They now have two Republican senators. They have a Republican governor. I'm going to put Florida as a red state. I think it votes Trump in this election. And I think we got pretty good data that allows us to make this claim.
Yeah. Great data. I put up on the screen, at least my model again. And it looks like as of right now, perhaps as much as 80% of the votes already in Florida, projecting a 77% turnout. And that might be on the low end. If I were to change this to 80%, this lead here for Trump actually would grow based on what the election day turnout's supposed to look like, according to the polling data here. Regardless, I think this is probably fair, whether it's an 80% turnout or a 77% turnout. A 1 to 2 point race, I think, is fair. And I think this is going to be very predictive of what we're going to see in Florida. I did something similar to this on election night in 2018 in Florida. And because so much of the state voted early that year and in the polling data was pretty consistent, it came out pretty close where it did actually have DeSantis up as well as Scott. So I think this is pretty fair with a Trump victory. Probably, I would say probably north of 150,000 votes just because.
What would that be percentage wise, Michael? Sorry, what's that? What's 150 votes percentage wise?
I'm not, let's see here. Well, I probably would need to change it up there. It's probably, so this is 100,000 at about 1%. So 1.5% of the vote. Yeah. Cause there's about 11 million people. So.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think it's going to be 1.5 to 2% in our favor for it. So can you share my screen real quick again?
Yep.
So we've gone through three states together. Okay. Watch what happens when we make Florida red.
Shit's happening, folks.
It's happening, right? And here's the way what I'm trying to do this is step by step and try to bring people along that this isn't, I don't want to make any big calls yet. I'm just doing uncontroversial, like, this is what the data is telling us. This is pretty, you know, we're going up in a little bit, we're going more out on the limb with each state. But look at where we are. Trump is at a 43 and 100 chance of winning. Wow. Also, this Kit Kat bar is really good. Okay. So let's move on and let's go back to the map. Okay. What's our next state? In my opinion, the next two states to flip are North Carolina and Georgia.
Yep, I'm with you.
I think those two stay red. I think they're actually pretty tight, though. I think Georgia is a state that's trending blue, and it's getting bluer. North Carolina is a state that I think actually will go blue eventually in our lifetimes. But I don't think they're there yet. And I think if Trump is winning Florida by 1.5 to 2 points, he's winning Georgia and North Carolina by a similar, if not stronger, margin, right? And that's not an uncontroversial pick, because in the 538 model, when you turn Florida red, those two states automatically turn red. And they go an 86 in 100 chance of Trump winning Georgia once you turn Florida red, and a 79 in 100 chance of Trump winning North Carolina. So this is my map right now, right? I'm turning those red. Michael, Sunbelt states, our call. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think I'm a little nervous about Georgia. I just don't know what to make of that state. Something about it. I know it's surrounded by red states to the west and to the east. And I think, again, we talked about Florida. And it's funny that the panhandle of Florida for the is very red. And even Jacksonville, Duval County in northern Florida is fairly red as well. So it's just strictly those burbs around Atlanta. And there are a lot of people there. It's a growing state, I believe.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think probably a 2 to 3 point race is fair. But I do want to mention something. 2000 election night, because I did watch some of this on YouTube because I'm a nerd. They actually had Georgia that year as too close to call for a few hours, I believe.
Wow.
And so I didn't know that. I just assumed it was a red state then, and it was. But it was too close to call for a few hours on election night. North Carolina, interesting thing there with the election, the early vote. So in 2016, the Democrats had about a 300,000 lead in the early vote in 2016. And I'm pulling up the election results from 2016. And Donald Trump ended up winning the state by 150,000 votes. Right now, I believe the lead is about 290,000 votes in North Carolina for the Democrats. But here's the thing. It's sort of like Democrats in the Mahoning Valley. Those Democrats are different down there. They might be more willing to vote Democrat on a local level, maybe even on a state level. Think of their governor. I think his name's Roy Cooper.
North Carolina?
Yeah, but even think of a West Virginia Democrat. It's a lot of Democrats in that state, especially at the state house level. Governor, I think the governor is a Republican now, but think of Manchin in West Virginia. He's still a Democrat. He gets elected. Kentucky has a lot of those Southern Democrats. So when you hear that lead, don't automatically think that those are all going to Biden.
No,
they're just a different kind of type of Democrat there. And I do want to share this, because this is a funky state, because I'm accustomed to, give me 1 second here, folks. I'm accustomed to a state of Ohio where Trump won 80 of the 88 counties. When you see this map here, look at all the blue in North Carolina. There are a lot of blue counties, and it makes it very difficult to figure out how the state is. And you got a lot of the population centers. You got what they, I believe, refer to as the research triangle in this part of the state.
Yeah, with Raleigh-Durham.
Yeah, so there's a lot of college-educated voters in this part, again, which, and probably a lot of post-college graduate who are ultra-liberal, much more ultra. Liberal. Even college graduates alone, I don't think, sway heavily to Biden. It's the post-college grads that are really the ones that are much more on the liberal side. But as you see, there's a lot of blue counties here, but there's apparently a lot of vote in some of these red counties to offset it. So, again, I'm with you. I think Trump will ultimately win it by, both states, Georgia and North Carolina, I would say 2 to maybe 3 points tops. But I'm not overly optimistic about either, but I'm not pessimistic. I don't think he's going to lose either. I just don't think the wins are going to be huge.
What's helping him in North Carolina is that the rural and the white working class is moving in his direction. Also, black turnout, from what we've seen so far, is not as strong as it was. And he's gaining a little bit with black voters, not a lot, but a little bit. So that's helping him in North Carolina. What's hurting him in North Carolina are your yuppie whites, your college educated whites, right? Are moving against him, the post grad whites. I still think, though, he nets out a win in the state. And if you're making the claim that he wins Florida, North Carolina is a bit redder of a state, same with Georgia. So he should win both of those. So if we go back, Are we sharing the screen with the map?
I will do that.
So right now, I think this is, you know, worst case scenario for Trump. This is where he is, right? And I'm going to go off and this is where I'm going to go into the ledge, right? If Biden were to flip the remaining, I think that's Biden's best case scenario.
I agree.
I'm not going to flip them all. But this is the worst case scenario for Trump. He holds on to the Sun Belt South. He holds on to Iowa and Ohio. He has 247 and then 79 plus 212. What's that like? 91, 291 for Biden, right? I think that's Biden's best case scenario. I don't see Biden winning. I saw somebody on Facebook and it was just completely asinine. They said Biden's going to win 400 electoral votes, right? That's not going to happen, right? The country's too polarized. It's just not going to happen. So let me go to the next state. And I'm going to give you a controversial take, and it's going to be Arizona. Arizona is a state that's voted red since 2000 in every presidential election. It used to be the heart of Barry Goldwater, John McCain, lots of Republicans. But recently it elected Kyrsten Sinema, a blue senator. It looks like it's going to, and I believe it will elect Mark Kelly as another blue senator. And I think Arizona goes very light blue, but I think it goes blue.
Wow.
What do you think?
I think I'm gonna. This might be our first disagreement of the night.
Okay, are you keeping track of your map?
I have my map already done on another tab.
Oh, wow.
So.
Whoa! Okay,
I'm way ahead of you. But okay, so I agree. I have concerns about Arizona. I will say I'll make my first Senate call of the night. Nick Saley will lose by probably at least 5 points there. I think Mark Kelly is going to win. He is going to be seated, I think, like November 30th, because that's McCain's old seat, actually.
Oh, wow.
And as a result, he will actually be seated before all the other senators elected. So the Senate will lose one, will have one less Republican with for about a month there in December. So I agree. I'll say this, McSally will lose, but here's where I think Trump has a chance there. If you're looking at 2016 election night, in Arizona, the biggest county, there's only like 11 counties in Arizona. It's a funky state with that. So Maricopa County is the largest county in the state. That's Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
But when you look at it, geographically speaking, it's like all of Northeast Ohio put in one county. It's huge.
Right.
And early on, I would have definitely said Biden's going to win it. He's going to win the state of Arizona because of the Maricopa County early votes. But something has happened in the last week that gives me a reason to believe that Trump can actually pull it out. There's this guy on Twitter who's been kind of like the guru of Arizona. It's Garrett_Archer is his Twitter handle. And he has Maricopa right now in the early vote, 624,000 Republican votes, 578,000 Democrat votes. And again, that's critical. From this perspective that, again, in most polling data across the nation, national polls as well as the state polls, it shows the Republicans outperforming the Democrats on Election Day. So unless the non-party voters, which are 435,000, a significant amount, unless they – maybe it's a 10-point margin for Biden, it gives me reason to believe that Trump's able to pull it out in Maricopa. I don't know if he can. But if the Republicans are doing this well in an early vote in Maricopa, I think there's a chance that they're probably doing well in the other parts of the state. I think this is going to be very tight.
Yeah,
I will just because of that. That's where I'm coming from. It's the largest county in the state. Republicans are all of a sudden taking lead, and they were down, I think, 5 percentage points, maybe as probably like 2 weeks ago, something like that, in Maricopa, and they've taken the lead. So. We'll see. I'm saying less than a point for Trump there.
The thing that worries me about Arizona is I don't trust those Republican voters. A lot of them are like globalist Republicans, John McCain Republicans. And I just think that they defect. I think that they go blue. These are like those lame, you know, we have to have civility in politics type of Republicans, which are the lamest, right? That's why I don't believe that Arizona. And I don't, yeah, I think it, my gut tells me it goes blue, but I hear you, right? I think I wouldn't be surprised if it stayed red.
Well, I'll say this. There have actually been some polls that have showed it surprisingly tighter, especially the mainstream media ones that have not been historically good to the president. And I think we're going to get into that in some of the states we're going to have coming up. But Susquehanna has Trump up one. Let's see. Reuters only had Biden up two. Emerson only has Biden up two. Trafalgar has Trump up three. And I believe Rich Bear's big data poll had Trump up about three as well there. So
I, you know, if I'm wrong, I think I'm wrong about Arizona. My thing is, I don't know that state well enough. I really don't. But like, this is just a gut feel. I think you're right. But I'm just going to put it blue just for that.
That's fair. Hey, we're being as objective as we possibly can. We don't want to be homers here. We're not trying to come from that perspective.
So let me move on. I'm going to share my screen again.
But you could on 538, if you want to make that blue, go ahead. Well, just for the sake of argument.
Okay, I'll make it blue. Ooh, Trump's down to 116 and 100. It screwed up the model, right? It's like, oh, no. No, 19 and 100. Okay, so he's retreated. He's lost a little bit of ground. Okay, let me go here. I'm going to make three quick calls. Nevada is a state that I think, if I feel like Arizona is on the edge and it's going Trump, I think Nevada is on the edge and it's going Biden, but I could easily flip it. Early data out of Nevada has shown that Republicans have been doing very well. If there's a strong rural turnout, Republicans can win. The other thing going on in Nevada is that their governor, who's a Democrat, is not very popular. He's been very harsh in the shutdowns of the state with the COVID-19. And Nevada is a bit more of a working class state compared to Arizona. So I'm going to put Nevada as light blue. I think Biden ultimately wins it because the Democratic machine is really strong in Nevada. But that is a state like Arizona I don't have a high confidence in. And I easily see Nevada flipping and Arizona flipping. Michael, what do you think?
So Nevada, I agree, it's going to be close, but Trump is going to lose it. I think based on reading Ralston reports, John Ralston's blog of the early vote, unless the independents sway by more than 10% to Trump, and unless the rurals come out at even greater margins than they did 4 years ago, I don't think there's a path there. Now, again, I think Trump only lost the state by 20,000 votes last time.
Yeah, so it's going to go either way.
It's close. And right now, in here's the important thing of Nevada, and I mentioned this the last two episodes. There are a lot of polling data at the national level is pointing to a blowout, okay? I would have expected in a state like Nevada, in a state like Florida, where they are very predictive with their early vote of the actual end results, that we would have seen something along those lines. A big surge of Democrat turnout, a big lead for the Democrats. That has not been the case. And actually in Nevada, although the Clark vote is slightly higher than it was 2016, as a percent, I think it's less because there's 200,000 more voters in Clark County, which is where Las Vegas is, obviously the most populous part of the state. But the Democrat lead, and I was pulling it up, I think was only around 45,000 votes going into Election Day from what I could tell, I think as of yesterday. So it's a lot tighter than one would think, especially if you're anticipating a blowout, but it does not appear that that's going to be the case. And I would think it's going to be similar. I think the Trump, this is one state, probably the only state where Republicans poll better than the actual results. It's usually the flip everywhere else. Biden plus two there.
I will say this. One thing that Nevada should tell you is that the poll saying that Biden is going to walk away with this, and then it's a 50-point win for Biden, and he's going to win on par with Obama in 2008. I don't think they're true. They're just simply not true. Those polls are not true. The early results, all the data that we have, not polls, but actual data, show that those results are not true. So in Nevada, it's your case in point. Like, Republicans are doing really well. Ralston, the expert on Nevada, sorry, I have a little bit of Laffy Taffy in my mouth. Ralston said that, like, Republicans could theoretically win. It's unlikely, but it's possible. He said before that wasn't possible. So this is not a Biden plus eight election, right? This is going to be tight. This is going to be really tight. Or Trump could theoretically win it big. I don't know, but
it's I just pulled up the Secretary of State. Or go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I pulled up the Secretary of State update as of yesterday. 39,000 vote lead for the Democrats. Going into Election Day.
Wow.
So it does not, that is a state that you would think that there's probably a lot of Californians maybe moving there. Maybe, I don't know, but the population is coming from somewhere to gain 200,000 new votes in one county alone. And I just would have expected that state to become more blue and for it to remain competitive. And one thing I will, one last point on this, the early vote in Nevada has pointed to a surge in rural turnout, and that could foreshadow the rest of the country. Just keep that in mind.
We got some good comments from Tom and from Shanley. Tom was saying in Arizona, he thinks that a lot of the older retirees in Arizona have flipped. I think that's a good point. I mean, I think that it's possible that Arizona stays red. Shanley made the good point. Nevada might go red because everybody works in Las Vegas.
That is true. And just because you're a Democrat does not mean you're going to vote for Biden, in knowing that fact. And again, you can make the argument, I'm a Republican, so yeah, I might say Democrats are going to vote for Trump. There's always going to be some crossover.
Yeah.
But in a city like Las Vegas that has been really hit hard by COVID and the shutdowns, there could be an issue with some of those union voters that are reliably Democrat actually voting for Biden at the top of the ticket, especially considering Biden is threatening . Well, he actually is not. Let me take that back. He's going to say a national mask mandate. I don't think he's going to shut us down again. Maybe he will, but the risk is higher with Biden than with Trump. And I think one other comment was on Arizona from Blake. Arizona is also ranked as the number one state for gun rights. I don't know if that means gun ownership or what have you there, but he had mentioned that as well.
I'm eating my son's Halloween candy. So if you heard me munching, I apologize. let's go back to the map. And let's look at two states that are a little weird, Nebraska and Maine. Both of those split up their electoral votes by district. I'm going to just split the baby down the middle. I'm going to say Maine, that one electoral vote goes Trump. I'm going to make it pink. And Nebraska, that one district by Omaha goes slightly blue. And I'm going to make that light blue. And I'm just going to split it down the middle. So 1 point for Mr. Biden, 1 point for Mr. Trump.
I'm actually in agreement with you. I do think Nebraska 2 is going to go to Biden. But again, I think it's important to note this might be a one-time thing. I don't know how the redistricting goes in Nebraska, but I would not be surprised with the Republicans having control of the state that they redraw that district for it to be more favorable for Republicans in the Electoral College. If they can make that happen, I would not be surprised. So, but I agree, and I think Maine 2 will go to Trump.
So let's go to New Hampshire. New Hampshire is a state that voted for Hillary Clinton by 3,000 votes. I'm going to put it light blue, if for no other reason that I think it's another state that's really close. But I do think that the Democratic advantage is a bit too strong there. The suburbs around Boston are a little too strong, and I think it stays light blue. But I could see it flipping, but I do think it stays light blue. So I'm going to award that to Mr. Biden.
I agree. That is a state that Trump lost by 2,000 votes.
Yeah,
2,000. Ultra tight.
Fewer than
watching Rich Barris. It is. He said it's one of the hardest states to pull.
Yeah,
it's very small, very interesting population. The one curveball with New Hampshire is they are, I believe, from watching Barnes and Barris, he says it's a very anti-war state, and perhaps Trump could pick off some votes from the perspective he hasn't started a new war. So, but I agree with you. It's a state to really watch on election night, though. I think it's fascinating. I wouldn't really read much into any. There hasn't been much in polling data that's come out there. I think one poll had Biden up double digits. The same poll 4 years ago, I think, had Clinton up 11 or 9 points going into election day. So it's a tough state to poll. So I agree with you. I would say New Hampshire is blue.
Okay. Now,
and real quick, I do want to mention, I'm gonna butcher her name. It's Hello, it's Tao. She has a pretty big following on Twitter, and she's tuning in, and she says, I don't believe that seniors are Biden plus 16 nationally like Quinnipiac is showing. And I would not believe anything that Quinnipiac pushes out, because they have become, to me, a joke. We'll know for sure in 2 nights, but they have Biden winning Ohio by 5 points. Actually, wait, I think they do. I believe they do. I better check that before. I don't want to be spreading fake news here, folks.
No fake news on this show. Only real news. So
we're gonna report facts here. It is 5 points, because I did see that one guy tweeted yesterday. They have Biden up 5, Quinnipiac.
Okay. So here we come to the Rust Belt states of Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. This is where it gets really interesting. I'm going to start with Minnesota. I think Minnesota is the one where Trump lost by 1.5 points. Minnesota is trending red. I think Minnesota in our lifetimes will be a red state. It voted for Walter Mondale in 1984. It was one of the only states to remain blue in Reagan's 84 landslide. I think it stays blue. I think Trump clubs really close, but I think St. Paul and Minneapolis are just too liberal. They're too bourgeois. I think it stays blue. I have Minnesota as light blue.
I think that is a fair prediction of the state. Early on, I would have said probably about 3 months ago, is that was a state I would have liked the Republicans to go after quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because of, and I'm going to pull up the, I'm going to share this real quick here, Minnesota election results. So it's these counties up here. Anybody who watches Barnes and Bears knows this is referred, this part of the state's known as the Iron Range. In polling, it looks like Trump is going to pick off all four of these counties, three of the four at least. And one of them does actually have a fairly big population. So again, he only lost the state by 44,000 votes. If he picks off these counties here, you're probably netting at least, let's see, what's that, about maybe 20,000 votes up in this part of the state, perhaps. If he holds his margins down in the rural part of the state, he's in good shape. But my concern here is right in this part of the state.
Yeah, me too.
And, you know, yesterday he had a rally in Rochester two nights ago, and he was limited to 250 people by the governor. And look at how close that county was. That could have been one that he could have flipped. And it had a huge turnout, actually, of people who couldn't actually attend the rally itself. But I'm just concerned here. I think it's going to be close. I say probably about a 3 or 4 point, maybe 4 or 5 point Biden lead. Because I just, these suburbs in this part of the state, I think it's going to come out. But as you can see, if these, this all moves red, this might be the most lopsided of all the states in terms of county numbers going to Democrats versus Republicans, but the population's right in this part of the state, folks.
So, yeah, agreed. So, I think Minnesota stays blue, but it could flip. That's the point of what we're trying to show, is that any one of these states could flip. This is not a Biden landslide. I just don't believe that to be true. Biden wins, Trump wins, I don't know, but I know for a fact it's not a Biden landslide. Everything that I'm looking at, my gut, my bones, all come in. So I'm going to make my next call, and my next call is Wisconsin. I'm going to mark that one light blue. I think Wisconsin is a state that was very Republican in the teens, the 2010s. It voted Trump narrowly. I think that they just recently elected, they defeated, Scott Walker lost. They elected a, I think his name is Tony Evers, a Democratic governor. And Wisconsin has seen a surge in COVID-19 cases. So as a result, I think people have COVID on their mind. And I just think that they defect away from Trump. The Wisconsinite voter is a very like peaceful, he or she is the type of voter that's like, you know, civility matters. You know, we got to be nice to people, that kind of stuff. They're not a very aggressive voter. And I think they have a progressive tilt, even though they vote Republican, they're always still kind of like light blue Republicans. And I just think it flips back to being blue. So I'm chalking that one up for Mr. Joe Biden.
I am in agreement with you, and I'm going to hedge myself here a little bit. So I mentioned earlier how I was using Target Smart, which is a Democrat firm who's modeling the early vote in some states. And right now they have the Democrats up 39.2 to 38 in Wisconsin. It's a 20,000 vote margin in the early vote with 415,000 unaffiliated voters. This would be something that would be pretty concerning to me if I were a Democrat going into election day, especially after 2016, when no polls at all showed, outside of Rich Barris, nobody else had Wisconsin going to the Republicans. So from that respect, it's a little concerning. And also I pulled up on the screen. So this is the other modeling company that I think is partnered up with CBS. I could be wrong about that. And they right now are modeling the early vote. And this was at 1.5 million votes and Target Smart's at 1.8. So this is a little dated, but they actually had it 44 Republican, 36 Democrat. I'm not there, but they actually have a pretty nifty map here where they plot dots of where all the voters are. And if this type of turnout comes out on election day around Milwaukee, the suburbs, which are referred to as the wow counties, watch this state. It's going to be closer than you think. I still agree with you, though. I have a blue on my map because It's the polling early on and consistently through this whole election season has been very good to Biden. And ABC is ridiculous for putting out a plus 17 Biden lead there. It's not going to be plus 17. It's not going to be plus seven. I think it's going to be a 2 to 4 point Biden win there. But yeah. watch those counties around Milwaukee.
Yeah. And so let's go to the final two states, Michigan and Pennsylvania. I actually think Michigan is a lot closer than people realize. And I think Michigan could flip or could flip red. I think there's a lot of discontent with their governor Whitmer. I think that Trump's win was so narrow. I think it stays blue. Oops.
That's fair. Let me pull up my model here to show you how crazy this state is. So I based this on three polls right now that are out. Target Smart's modeling the electorate very, very tight. Republican, Democrat. I mean, it's a 100,000 vote margin. Here's the consistent pattern, though. And well, two of the three polls that I was able to actually access this information, and it's right here. Look at the turnout on election day by party. Almost 2 to 1 in both. If you average it out, it's about 2 to 1 margins. So if the Republicans get a decent turnout, they're going to greatly outvote the Democrats on election day. And if the Democrats don't get their voters out in Detroit, which was their issue in 2016, they're going to have issues. When you go through all the other metrics here that I use, it has this being less than 1,000 votes. So crazy, crazy, crazy tight. I'll say this, when they send Barack Obama up there, it leads me to think that their internals show it very tight, because I don't see why they would be sending Barack Obama up there.
Oh yeah, it's tight. It's tight. This is
I just think I'd probably put it about a 1 point race for Biden. I agree. I think it should be blue, but this one, especially watch the Senate race there too. That could be a surprise of the night with John James over Senator Peters. That's the key in a lot of these swing states. If the Republicans get their turnout out, they can very well win this election, and they could very well win Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let me remove that.
So here's my map, and you'll notice something. Biden has 270 to win. Pennsylvania, I think it goes Biden as well.
Wow, dang.
Yeah. And I think that Biden, this is what I call the 60% probability scenario. It's Biden 290, Trump 248. I think that the reason why I have these states as blue is that the white working class voter slightly defects to Biden, particularly the older voters, because they're concerned over Corona, and the college educated white voter defects massively to Biden. I think minority turnout is low, which is why these states are close. But I ultimately think that's why these states go light blue. I think this is the 60% scenario. I think this is what happens 60% of the time on election night.
So before I make my call on Pennsylvania, I do want to show everybody, just so you know, I am sharing my 2016 election night or election preview, just so people don't realize that I don't want people to think we're hacks or anything. This was my map 2016, and my map is extremely slightly different. I think off a couple states here, as you're gonna see in a second, but I had it pretty tight, which is, again, much better than Nate Slimer, Silver, Nate Cohn, G. Elliott Morris, all these liberal pool pundit readers, whatever you want to say. But I just wanted to share that, show where people I'm coming from. So next thing I want to share, though, is my model for PA. I'm much more bullish on PA.
Really?
Yes. So let me explain why. The early vote here is a disaster for the Republicans.
Yeah.
But I really spent some time this evening before the episode digging into my model and trying to provide as accurate of a prediction as possible. And I went with five polls, all of which show Trump down. Okay. Emerson, Muhlenberg, PPP, PPP, Payroll Protection Program, New York Times and Quinnipiac. Okay.
I got that joke.
The Republicans are getting decimated by 2-1 margins in early vote. Here's what's interesting, though. Look at some of these. Well, unfortunately, I only got two of the five polls actually told me what election turnout. But look at this. In both of them, 80 to 84% of Republicans plan to vote on Election Day. This is why it's key that Trump was in Pennsylvania and made four stops yesterday in PA. And he's going to be making, I believe, another stop there tomorrow. It is turnout, turnout, turnout. If the Republicans get their turnout on election night or election day on Tuesday, I think they have a legitimate chance of winning. Here's the thing. If you look at this early vote data from Target Smart, and I haven't pulled this up recently, but I thought at one point a couple weeks ago, about 55% of it came from two counties, Allegheny and Philadelphia counties. I'm pulling it up right now just so I know when I'm talking about counties. Let's go to Philadelphia because this is going to give you an idea of the state itself. And just so you know, another thing, Rich Barris is polling this state right now, and he had it as a virtual tie. I think Biden was like a 0.4. It was ever so tight. So, yeah. So 300,000 vote margin in Philadelphia County alone in the early vote it's projecting right now. Democrats have to get their margins up in Philadelphia to win. Nonetheless, here's how the model works. Here's the key, though. And where am I looking here? It's showing a very Republican electorate, which I don't believe is accurate. But again, I'm basing this on how it's flowing, and I'm predicting about a 73% turnout. I think this is too high. I think it's going to be less than that. But I wouldn't be surprised if on election night Trump has a lead of 50 to 100,000 votes. The key, though, my concern is how it currently stands, where they can accept ballots that are not postmarked in PA for up to 3 days after, and they might still count. Now, the Supreme Court has yet to rule entirely with the full body with Amy Coney Barrett on there, but I think that they have issued a statement of some sort that said they have to segregate those ballots. This is my concern for election. I know Mike McGlone had commented something like that similar or earlier in the episode, but Trump being up and Trump's lead going away because of those votes, and it goes to the Supreme Court. That is my worst case scenario, but I could see it happening.
I agree too.
I do have Trump winning Pennsylvania. I think Pennsylvania is the key, and that is a very narrow path. And I'll share my other screen real quick to my map. Where's it at? So this is kind of how I had it with my toss-ups. And well, let me just make these red. I again had Arizona going red ever so slightly, and I would say, whoops, that is going blue slightly, and I think ever so slightly. PA and Arizona, I think, are going to be the two closest states of the night.
Wow.
And that is how, and as you can see, it's very similar to my 2016 map when I had Trump actually losing the election. But I just think Western PA, and I think the rural vote will come out. It ultimately comes down to turnout day in Pennsylvania. If 80% of Republicans say they're going to come out in the polling data on election day, if they come out, they have a legitimate chance of winning.
So let's pause for a second.
Okay.
You and I are similar mindsets for a lot, right? Where we agree, Sunbelt stays red, Texas stays red.
Outside of Arizona.
Outside of Arizona.
That might be Southwest, whatever you want.
Yeah, Southwest. Southeast, let's say, stays red. Iowa and Ohio stay red, right? Neither of us are forecasting a Biden blowout, right? I agree with you wholeheartedly that this race comes down to Arizona and Pennsylvania. I feel like you might be right on Arizona because it's voted red so often. But they voted Kristen Sinema with like 2.5 points, a blue.
I'll say this though about that. I think McSally is a weak candidate.
She's a horrible candidate, right?
And that's why she's going to lose by at least five this time, I think,
in office. So it's a state that is going to have two blue senators. You don't disagree there, right?
Nope, I agree 100%.
So that just to me seems like, I don't know, that makes me nervous. It makes me extremely nervous. Pennsylvania, I don't trust Pennsylvania as far as I can throw it. And it's a huge state and I can't throw it very far. And what I see happening in I'm going to be upright. I don't know that state well enough. If you imagine it's like a red T, right? So the center and on the top is red. You've got blue Allegheny, blue Philadelphia. I think that the Pittsburgh suburbs are trending red, but I could see them going Biden and Philadelphia, all the Republicans in Philadelphia defect to Biden and Biden wins the state. I don't know.
I put up Predict It, which is showing the odds in each state based on the betting market. And it's very – look at this. Look at it's pretty much in line with our predictions, and it's not by design. It's just – it is the way it is. Look at Arizona and look at Pennsylvania. And actually, these odds, I believe, in these two states are probably the best they've been. Well, it looks like it's gone up a little bit for Joe Biden today in Arizona and down a little bit in PA. I don't remember it being below 60. Maybe it was earlier in the week. I don't know. But as you can see, I think it's going to come down to those two. Here's the thing, though. Could we have a polling miss? Perhaps. I'll say this. I heard Rich Barris talk about this, where if you read his polls, and I think some other pollsters are asking the same question, do you believe in the idea of a shy Trump vote? Overwhelmingly, majority of most polls, it's yes. That's not my concern. My concern is I think there just could be these, and we talked about it earlier, white working class voters or white working class Americans who have not previously voted, who are coming out. There's the data that the Republicans have been promoting or touting about these rallies has shown maybe 15 to 25% of the people in attendance have never voted before. Republicans' job, it's Trump's job and it's his campaign's job to get those people out to vote. I just think there could be a missed aspect of the electorate that is going to cause issues with the polling in some states. And I think that's why you have a gap between +7 in Iowa and a +17 in Wisconsin between what 538 refers to as two A rated pollsters. And I think Ann Seltzer knows her state. And I think she probably took the time to make sure she adequately sampled through the rural parts. And I'm not sure if that was the case with ABC. I could be wrong. I'm just explaining where I'm coming from with why I think Trump could win or could even pick off a Wisconsin or Michigan. I think those two are going to be tight, but I just think his best chance for sure is Pennsylvania.
I actually think his best chance might be Michigan, but I'm crazy. Look, I think that we can sum up this election. I want you to be right, by the way. I want to be so wrong. I want to be so wrong that everybody comes back and you're like, "Dang, you're a moron. You completely missaw what was going on." Michael Metzinger is a genius. You know, he is the king of the MV Red podcast. You're just a bitter heir to his fame. I hope that happens. I am worried about seniors. I'm worried about independents defecting, and I'm worried that the white working class surge in the rural areas doesn't happen. I'm confident that minority turnout is going to be down. I think this could be one of the whitest electorates we've seen in some time, ironically. I think Hispanics are defecting to Trump. So there is good news for Trump. I just think that people are so spooked about COVID. They vote for Biden, even though I think, look, this is going to go off on a tangent here, but like the whole thesis was that Trump mismanaged COVID and the cases were spiking. Well, Europe is going under lockdown now. A second round of lockdowns in France and England and Spain and Italy. Did they elect Donald Trump as president, right? Like that whole argument, I always thought was a stupid argument. Like what was Trump supposed to do, right? Like create antibodies and shoot it to everybody? I don't know. But I think that people are genuinely spooked about COVID and they vote for Biden as a result. I don't know. I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong so badly, but I'm just scared.
Yeah. I'll say this. I think COVID was a killer. If he loses, he's going to lose because of COVID.
Yeah.
And I think he was destined for a huge win. You know, we talked about it before COVID. I was saying at the time 55, maybe 55 to 60% odds that Trump would win. And I honestly think with the economy the way it was, there's no reason he wouldn't have won, won handily. I think COVID hurt him. You mentioned another thing. And I know, let's go back to this idea of turnout. So early voting, Florida through the roof, Arizona, it's up. In a lot of these states, it's up. In those two states I just mentioned, in Nevada, it's up. But what isn't up? Democrat leads aren't up. There's something there with this turnout. I don't know what it is.
Here's the thing, Michael, though. But the problem with those early voting arguments, I see them all the time on Twitter, is that there's Democrats and Republicans, right? And it's like, yeah, Republicans are doing a kick-ass job on early voting, and Democrats are fucking blowing it on early voting. But the question is, what about independents? And my fear is that independents swing towards Biden. So, like, if Republicans are up in early voting by 5 points, but independents are going Trump or going Biden by 10, Biden wins the state, right? Like, that's my big fear. That's what I can't – I don't know what independents are doing, and I'm afraid that they're going Biden.
They could, but I would challenge you on that with this idea that I think they're – again, in some states by 2-to-1 margins, the Republicans are going to beat the Democrats in election day turnout. And can it be enough to offset – some of those, the independent and Democrat spread? I think so. Like in a state like Florida that has a Democrat electorate, actually, think about 180,000 more Democrats in the state than Republican. Republicans need a +3 turnout to win the state, and I think they're going to get it. They just do a better job of getting their voters out. In a lot of states, that's why when you look at a poll, registered voters are more typically better for Democrats. And when you go to a likely voter model, it becomes a little better for the Republicans because Republicans are more likely to vote. I still think this idea with turnout is going to be the interesting thing. And I said it earlier in the episode, I thought turnout alone would have favored the Democrats, but I don't know if I'm seeing it yet because I just think there's something there with rural America that maybe we're missing again. Cause I've driven through rural parts of Mahoning and down in the Columbiana County, it's all Trump. Yeah. And that was the case 4 years ago. I just don't think we could have lost much support there.
Girard is Trump. Like, that's why I don't think Trump's losing Ohio. Girard is like urban area, right? It's not suburban. It's not rural. And it's huge Trump. I don't know. Like so let me put on the bad Dane hat, right? Evil Dane. I'm going to put on the evil Dane hat. Are you ready? Evil Dane. And let me show you my map. Evil Dane says, you know, Dane's cautious approach to this is completely fucking completely wrong. And there we go. So this is what my brain tells me is going to happen. It's going to be a narrow Biden win. But Evil Dane says that minority turnout's down. The college white college voter defection to Biden is overstated. And there's going to be a huge surge of working class and rural turnout. And in that case, this is what I call the 40% chance scenario. Bing, 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 bing. Trump wins by a greater electoral college.
You're not far off there. I think in quite a few of those states, it's going to be, I'm predicting like 2 to 3 point Trump deficits in those. And again, a slight polling miss, all within margins of errors, could easily shift those.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So a couple comments in the chat that I want to mention. Shanley had mentioned that she is more bullish than you, Dane, and that although the arguments are sound, she still thinks Trump wins. She's more concerned, and somebody else I'm going to mention it here in a second, is, and I'm very concerned about this too, about delayed returns getting dragged out in post-election fallout. Blake had mentioned in the chat about the second debate may have saved Trump with undecided voters. I think so. It gave them a reason to vote for him. It gave him, when we talked about this, I think last episode, he handled himself well. He showed restraint. And I think a lot of those undecided voters at this stage were probably, like his policies, were looking for a reason to vote for him still. I think they gave him that reason. And then Mike in the chat, Mike McClone, mentions, hate to be pessimistic, but I think election results will take perhaps as much as 2 to 3 weeks to come back. So much is at stake for each side. COVID cases are going to go up. State shutdowns, perhaps some states. Market tanks. He says he predicts a very difficult 6 weeks, which, again, this is 2020. anybody who says they know what's going to happen doesn't know. And that's why it makes this election that much more difficult, because common sense says if you read the polling data, Trump's going to get clobbered. But, you know, we went state by state there and gave our analysis as to why we're presenting it this way. It's not far off where Trump could win this election.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not, it's going to be either a narrow Biden win, as I think it is, or a Trump win, which is kind of stupid, right? Either Biden or Trump is going to win. Yeah. I don't think it's a Biden landslide, right? I don't.
We probably could agree, though. I think popular vote for sure for Biden.
Yeah, by like a couple points.
If Trump does win under my scenario, watch it. I've become a little bit more bullish on this. I would say a Biden plus five, Trump could still eke it out under my scenario.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, which is crazy, right?
And there actually is some polling data out there to show a plus five, actually, which is not too far out of the realm of possibilities.
So let me just end the episode, because I was bearish on Trump's chances, and I think he loses on Tuesday. I hope I am wrong. Let me end the episode by saying this. I really hope people vote for Donald Trump. And the argument for Donald Trump is not based on his character or his personality, but based on the simple fact that he is a massive middle finger to the establishment. The establishment of both the Republican and the Democratic parties has destroyed this country. They have hauled out our industrial base. Both Democrats and Republicans have outsourced your jobs. They sent your sons into foreign wars to die for a little gain for our country. They are the upper middle class in this country believes in truly toxic and destructive ideologies, critical race theory, all this stuff. It's going to destroy our country. And I do believe that the upper echelons, not the average Democrat, but the upper echelons of the Democratic Party, I think that they hate America as it was. I think they seek to change it through large scale immigration. And I think Trump is not the man we want, but the man we need at the moment. And he stands against that. And, you know, I think that Trump has been a godsend to people, working class voters. The key policies that we need are imposed by the establishment. One, redoing these trade deals where we've outsourced our industrial base. Trump has stood up against China. He's implemented tariffs. He defeated TPP. He has renegotiated NAFTA. So the trade deal is number one. He's prevented an open market in trade. Number two, he has curtailed both illegal and legal immigration. Okay. If you want working class voters to get ahead, you have to turn off the spigot of low skilled immigration into this country. It destroys the bargaining power of labor. And in fact, over the last 3 years, wages for those at the bottom quartile, so the people with the least amount of education or people that make the lowest of wages, they've seen their wages increase the strongest under Trump. It's not the yuppies who have done well under Trump. It's the working class who has done well. And in terms of foreign policy, the bipartisan establishment loves to send American boys to die in some foreign desert, right, with little benefit to America, whether it's Iraq or Afghanistan or Libya or Syria or Kosovo or any of these areas, right? And Trump has been the president of peace, right? And he has pulled our troops back. He has resisted the foreign policy establishment, which seeks to invade half the planet and then invite in their refugees to the United States. And oh, by the way, sorry, your neighborhood that you grew up in, they don't speak your language. They don't believe your same beliefs, and you're in a foreign country in your own home. Trump has stood up for what America was and what it should be. And he's not a perfect guy by any means, but he's the guy that does this. And so I think he earned your vote. I think that Trump, you know, they say, well, he's not. One of the worst things are like Republicans that are like, you know, he's not a typical Republican. Well, thank God, because typical Republicans were helping destroy this country.
And we wouldn't have Justice Kavanaugh right now if we had a typical Republican, because they would have abandoned
him. No, they would have abandoned him, right? Typical Republicans were weak and cowardly. And so I'm going on a rant, and I apologize, but I just want to say, like, if you're on the fence, what the hell do you have to lose? Four more years of Trump. We had an economy prior to COVID that was strong. We were at peace. And the media threw tons of these dumb stories about him. And if you're like, well, I know, but he's not really a nice guy, and he's just a little gross and vulgar. Yeah, well, Bill Clinton raped women, Ted Kennedy killed women, and the media celebrates them as heroes. George Bush caused 500,000 Iraqis to die, and right, get blown up, children without fathers. It's not very decent, but he was a nice guy and said aw shucks. The media has no problem with him. Barack Obama loved to drone people. He droned a wedding and blew up a wedding, right? Imagine you're at your wedding and it gets bombed, right? And then, like, your whole family's dead in front of you. That's Barack Obama. He turned Libya into open-air slave market, right? He prolonged the Syrian conflict by sending aid to Syrian rebel groups. A lot of them were allied with al-Qaeda. So when you talk about decency and, well, Trump's just not a decent guy, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Don't fall into that trap. That's a low IQ trap, okay? Go to the polls and vote for Donald Trump. And in 4 years you don't like him, vote Democrat the rest of your life. Don't let these far left radicals destroy this country. I don't care if you're pro unions and pro the minimum wage, and, you know, you like universal health care, that's all groovy. But if you melt this country down, if you burn it ground, this is the last best hope on earth. After America falls, we're done. Okay. The light of Western civilization will go out permanently, and we will be in 1,000 years of darkness in the desert. So damn it, vote for Donald Trump. And be glad when you do so, because he's a good man to vote for. So there you go. There's my close of the episode.
The Dane endorsement, stamp of approval.
Yeah.
So I want to say this, folks. 2016, I did not like Trump. I did not want him to be the Republican candidate. I had not only did I have a Kasich sign, I also had a Rubio side, because I was, as they like to refer to, a never Trumper. So I was a never Trumper. I'm not as bad as the Lincoln Project. I'm not as bad as Mike Murphy, Joe Scarborough, all these other folks. I was willing to give the guy a chance.
Joe Scarborough killed his intern.
What's that?
Joe Scarborough killed his intern, by the way.
Okay, yeah, Trump, keep going. Sorry. Trump was pushing that. No, I'm saying this because ultimately why I decided to vote for him. Well, first off, I was never in a million years ever going to vote for Hillary Clinton. But I was concerned about 3 weeks. Whole Access Hollywood tape came out. I'm like, Trump has no chance. I was wrong. But I ultimately did decide to vote for him because of the Supreme Court. He's delivered not one, not two, but three Supreme Court picks. He promised that he would deliver tax reform. He has delivered tax reform. He has cut the corporate tax rate. He has provided a 20% small business deduction for business owners who aren't incorporated under who doesn't have a C corporation for tax purposes. I know I'm kind of talking like a CPA here. Blake Benio had mentioned in the chat, Middle East peace deals are also proving the Trump strategy is working. A lot of that actually might be Jared Kushner, who I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of, but he's delivering. I'll give him credit there. He has got us. He's pulled our troops out. He has kept us out of wars. He's renegotiated NAFTA, which is issue number one. We've talked. Ron Verb has been talking about NAFTA for 15 years. I know from listening on 570 in Youngstown. He's renegotiated NAFTA. He took on the Chinese. He, as Dane says, he is an imperfect person. He is rough around the edges. I don't like a lot of his tweets. I think he is his own worst enemy at times. But you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't with the guy. You're damned if you do, insofar as if you go with him, he's going to deliver, but you're going to have to deal with the fact that he could be an a-hole at times. He could be an ass. Okay, there's no way around it. But if you don't support him, you're left with a radical left, and they are radical. Joe Biden is not going to last 4 years in the White House. We've seen enough clips of them talking about Kamala Harris being the president. Please, if you're on the fence, please send us a message, me or Dane, and we will chat with you. If you're on the fence about voting, vote. Okay. Please.
Well, we talked only about if you're voting red. But well, yeah.
But again, I'd imagine if you're tuning in, you probably are more willing to vote red. So that's my endorsement. He is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. I wish he would clean up his personality, but that's just how he is. And maybe that is you take it, you accept it, but he delivers with it. So I'll say that. Mike McGlone in the chat says, fantastic info. Love the research and methods put in the predictions. Great episode. We appreciate that. John Metzinger from McDonald, 272 for Trump, 258 for Biden. Kelly Motika, the nicest guys are secretly the worst.
Well, that's so true.
Joe Biden. Robert Switka, I'm voting, but my God, it has been the most annoying year to date. I wonder how Switka voted. Well, I'll have to text them about that. A few other things real quick. Robert Barnes followed us during the episode on Twitter. So he probably tuned in at some point today. So that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Toledo Blade today both endorsed Trump. First time the Post-Gazette, I think, in probably 40 years has endorsed a Republican. First time since 88 that Toledo Blade has endorsed a Republican. Ultimately, the last point I wanted to make, election night, pay close attention to the Mahoning Valley. What happens here will be symbolic of the rest of the Rust Belt and foreshadow how it's going to go. If Trump does well here or wins, expect Trump, I think, to win Pennsylvania and perhaps win Michigan. If it's similar to 4 years ago where it's pretty much 50-50, Trump takes Trumbull, loses Mahoning, it's going to be tight. And if Biden does well here, Biden's going to be the next president of the United States. Those are my final. Real quick before we leave, though, we have two local races. I'm going to throw a third one in there. Two, Christina Hagen, Tim Ryan, Dane, your pick.
Christina Hagen. I actually think she wins, and I would never say this, but Gerard sealed it for me. There are so many Hagen signs. The enthusiasm is organic and real. I think Christina Hagen wins.
If Trump wins Ohio 13 by 5 points, which is not out of the realm of possibility, Christina Hagen with the win. Anything less than that, it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough. I think it can be done with the right turnout. And again, if Ohio stays about +8 to +9, I think you're going to have parts of the state that are going to move more to the left, and it's going to be offset by an area like the Mahoning Valley moving right.
Agreed.
If that happens, I expect Christina Hagen to possibly pull off a huge upset. Huge upset where I'm going to be tweeting at all the political prognosticators who have been ignoring my tweets from the guy with 500 random followers on Twitter, refusing to acknowledge the fact that Ohio 13 is a race, although I've been yelling at the top of my lungs about it. So anyways, that's that race. Then Ohio 59 state rep. This is in Mahoning County. The whole county of Mahoning, with the exception of Austintown and Youngstown. It's a very, if you look at it from 2016, it's a fairly red part of the state or red part of the county. It's Al Catrona who took over Don Manning's seat after Don Manning passed away. He's around our age, around 30, 31. He's taken on Chris Stanley. They're both from Canfield. I don't know if, Dane, do you have any pick on this one?
Yeah, I think he probably wins. He seems like a nice enough guy. He's been advertising a lot. Yeah, he'll win, sure.
He does have, yeah, he has, he's raised quite a bit of money, and I expect him to win. I think he has a favorable district. I actually think of all the Republicans on election night, he has the best chance of winning in Mahoning County. And I would think probably to the tune of between 52 to 55% of the vote. I think he'll win by at least four points on up. There's a ton of signs. He's done a great job of getting his name out there. So I expect Catrona on. We try, you know, it's my fault. We were going to have him on. I just failed to. It's just too tough with trying to figure out when our episodes are. We will get him on after when he wins. Last race I want to talk about locally. This is actually up in Trumbull County. I think this is one to watch very closely. It's Gil Blair, who I believe took over the former McDonald mayor's seat. He's running. He's a Democrat. He inherited his seat. He's running against Mike Loychek. He's a Republican. I think he's a military vet. Watch that race as well. Trumbull is going to go to Trump. And if it does, I expect Loychek to win. And it is, Kelly's informed me, it's the 63rd district.
I think Gil Blair wins, but I think it's really close. I think Loychek has a lot of support. I think Hagen has more support. I think Blair wins that one. But I think it's close.
Yeah. So, it's amazing, though. We're talking about close races for the Republicans here, and that's because of Trump. At the end of the day, it's because of Trump at the top of the ticket. I think he's going to push. So I think you got to watch some states, races across the nation where people, candidates who have agreed with the president, have run behind the president and his policies, watch them on election night. I think it's possible that he carries quite a few across the finish line. Also watch in Western PA, Connor Lamb versus Sean Parnell. That's Beaver County. That's part of Allegheny County, I believe. That's another district that I think is very similar to Ohio 13, and watch that race as well. If Parnell wins, I expect I expect Trump to win PA.
Yeah, me too. I think that one could flip.
Any final thoughts, Dan? This was a info filled episode.
I think this was a good episode. My final thought is, I think Trump's going to lose on Tuesday. I hope I'm wrong, but if he does, I hope that the Republican Party does not revert to the party of George Bush and John McCain. I hope it remains a Trump party. And I hope it remains a party of America First, because I think America First is the ideology of the future. I think tomorrow belongs to America First. Who gives a damn what the corporate tax rate is and what the capital gains tax rate is if we lose our country, right? In the Bible, it says, what profiteth a man if he gains the world but loses his soul? And I would say the same is true of America, right? And the way that Republicans will win in the future is becoming a pro-American, pro-tradition, working-class party that aggressively looks out for America and doesn't want America entangled in foreign alliances, foreign wars, and looks out for American businesses and American workers, regardless of race, color, class, or creed. That's my hope for the Republican Party of the future. Hopefully, Trump wins on Tuesday, and I am wrong, and that vision can continue. But if he loses, there's going to be a battle for the heart and soul of the Republican Party. And that's the next fight.
I'm with you 100%. I think I'll say this. If the Republicans want to retain the white working class vote in the Rust Belt, they better not revert back to their old ways, because they will lose it quickly, very quickly. And all that hard work under Trump will be for naught. John Metzinger mentions Glenn Holmes was who Gil Blair took over for.
Yes. Yeah.
So, thank you. I couldn't remember what his name was. I know John lives in McDonald's, so he would have known that one. So that's good. Watch our Facebook, especially our Twitter feed on election night. I'm going to be trying to tweet out a lot of Mahoning Valley data, especially early on. I've been tracking that. I think that is going to tell the story. I know James Malarkey, who is a supporter and watches our episodes, wants to do some live things. So I'm not going to do it. We're not going to do a full blown live thing through the night. That'll be taking too long, but maybe we'll do some short little live videos throughout the night. Dane, obviously you're welcome to join us, and we could share maybe 10, 15 minutes of commentary every few hours if you want to do something like that.
I would love to. I'll try to. I'm going to get home from work probably late. I'm going to order a pizza and watch the returns.
Yeah. So but regardless, watch our Facebook. We'll do like a little live chat going on there. But yeah. Want to encourage. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. A lot of great comments tonight. Kelly wants us to do a live broadcast at Mahoning County Election Night headquarters. It's not a bad idea if COVID and everything else wasn't going on, but I have all my crap already set up, so I'm probably going to do it from the office, which is unlike me. I feel like I need to go do it downstairs, like 4 years ago. I don't want to jinx us. And I'll say this one, I guess one final comment, as glorious as 2016 election night was,
oh man,
I honestly think this would be even more enjoyable as a supporter of the president, just because the media, the polls that have come out, the poll readers, Nate Silver, Nate Cohn, Dave Wasserman, it's probably the worst of all is actually, I think, G. Elliot Morris. If you read his,
he's smug. He's a smug little prick.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny. They were all attacking the Seltzer poll last night and quickly calling it an outlier.
Yeah. These fucking pollsters are bullshit. I hope to God Trump wins, because not only will I love to celebrate my president winning another election and the red domination of America, but all these fucking nitwit, pricky pollsters will be pushed off a cliff, right? Like, hey, nerds, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, that's what I want to say to Nate Silver, G. Elliott, all these guys. They're so – the thing is, it's not that they're nerds, right? There's no sin in being a nerd. It's being a smug nerd, and that's what they are. It's like, hey, I think Trump could win. You're stupid. You can't do basic math. You don't have a PhD in polls like we do. You could clearly see that Trump can't win if you were smart like us. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's them. I hate these people. I hate them. Get them out. Get them out. Go to Canada. These guys should fuck off to Canada, and you can hang out with Justin Trudeau.
So yeah, they had a fairly large miss in 2016, but if they're wrong in 2020, it will be far worse based on what the polling looks like and what their models are showing. Because I think right now, 538, I think it's a 10 or 11% chance Trump wins. G. Elliott Morris's is at, it's like a 4% chance that Trump wins. And Nate Cohn, God, now he's an actual pollster. I'll say that about him. And he tries to be pretty transparent. He does a good job of putting his maps out. But his polls today were so predictable. It's like you just knew when he said he was going to release like PA, Florida, and everything, it was going to be all Democrat. And sure enough, and again, we're going to know how bad some of these are based on Ohio. You know, with Quinnipiac showing they're a disaster to begin with, but showing Biden up 5 here, having a bigger win than Obama did in 08, which when it was like 4.2 or 4.3. Are we serious here, folks? I mean, it's just, oops, I'm just messing with my light. Yeah. I would love, absolutely love, as important as the election is for our country, that's like the icing on the cake if Trump wins, is to see those guys wrong. Because they are very smug and they don't like to be, you know, they attack any poll that comes out that remotely looks good for Trump. And they just, it's an outlier. Well, we'll see. We'll see about Trafalgar. I think he's a little too bullish. He's a confident guy, but watch Rich Bears and Barnes tomorrow. I think they're on it too. I'll be very curious to hear what they have to say. I think Bears by then will have wrapped up all of his states. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
Well, good night, Michael. Good night, viewers. Thanks for tuning in. I really, really hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm completely wrong. And I hope that the next episode we're celebrating Trump's victory.
Fingers crossed, and we'll see who's Arizona and Pennsylvania are the two I think we got to watch. Florida calls, how it's going to go. Florida, we will know by probably 11 o'clock. If Florida goes Trump, we're in for the long haul, and I don't know if we're going to necessarily know the results election night.
If Trump loses Florida, it's over.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Who would have thought 4 years ago that was not – if he would have lost, there's actually a chance he would have won. You take his votes, he actually would have won. But I don't think that's the case this time. So we shall see. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please subscribe on your favorite podcast app. Again, follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell anybody you know who likes politics. Check out this episode. We'll make sure we promote it like crazy here over the next 48 hours. And we'll do a follow-up episode after the election, and we'll kind of take it from there, see where we were right, see where we were wrong. Hopefully we're more right than wrong. Hopefully I'm more right than Dane with two states. But I'm hoping you're right with Christina Hagan. I think that would be great if she could win. That could be a crazy story of the night, actually, that nobody's going to talk about heading in. So we shall see.
Well, it was a pleasure doing this with you, Michael. I'll see you next time. We'll have a new president next time we talk.
That's right. All right. Take care, everybody.
Bye, Michael.